Talking Business on Radio Q. Joining me now is Ron Curry, the CEO of the Interactive Games and Entertainment Association. G'day, Ron.
Good afternoon.
Didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah, we've been here for a long time.
And the thing I learned recently, which completely blew my mind, is that interactive games, video games, and that is becoming a spectator sport.
It is becoming a spectator sport. Esports, as they are calling it, is a huge industry already. And the prize money we're seeing is, for example, there was a contest earlier this year where the prize money was $10 million to win a video game.
So yeah.
Certainly we've got to start rethinking about telling our kids to get a real job, I guess.
We do. And I thought about it. At first I thought, oh, that's amazing. What's going on? And then I thought about it and thought, well, you know, the things that are spectator sports like golf and tennis, they are participant sports first. And then people like watching really good people play those sports, tennis and golf and so on, which makes sense. And I guess that's what's happening with video games.
It is. And that's some research we did recently showed that there's a whole number of gamers who like to watch the sport because they do it already, so play the game. But they also want to get better at it. And by watching the sport or watching the game being played helps them improve vastly in the way they play. Well, that's the hope at least.
And the interesting thing is, well, I suppose it's the same as other sports. You can watch it online. You can watch people do it online. But also people are getting into rooms and watching people on stage play the games as well.
Well, yeah, they're getting into stadiums. So we're getting tens of thousands of people into stadiums watching games getting played.
This is a phenomenal development. I think it's incredible, Rod. But why not? There you go. So, and the industry is taking off, isn't it?
The industry is taking off. If you look globally, the industry is worth over $100 billion. Australia last year generated around $3 billion in revenue for video games. That's the sales of games in the country. So it's certainly, you know, it's bigger than film, it's bigger than music. So it's the number one entertainment medium.
Oh, it's bigger than film and music?
It certainly is.
Didn't know that. So this is the number one entertainment medium.
It is, thankfully and happily.
Well, and so are there other ways to make money out of it than just selling the games?
Yeah, there's selling the games if you're a retailer or a publisher. There's making games if you're a developer, and we've got some incredibly great developers in Australia. We can play games for sport, as we've seen, as making money. And probably the thing that's most exciting at the moment is taking kind of all that expertise in gaming and moving it across into, I guess, what we call, some people use the term serious games. Other people say, you know, games with a purpose. And how do you use those in industries that are outside purely entertainment? So still use that essence of what a game's about, the engagement and the connection and the deep, you know, movement through a piece of medium, but using it, you know, maybe for health or education or other sorts of enterprise.
So are most of the games still kind of war games or not?
No, there's just this wide variety of games now. And depending who you are and, you know, I guess where you are in your life cycle, depending on the sort of games that you're playing. If we look at the fastest growing sector of games at the moment in Australia, it's women over 64 years old. They tend not to be playing war games. They tend to be engaging in games that are more what they're used to. So maybe Words with Friends, which is similar to Scrabble, or they're playing puzzle styles of games. So stuff that they're used to offline, and then transitioning them into a video game style. And then after they're getting comfortable, moving on further to, you know, to deeper, more, I guess, what we call traditional video games.
I didn't think Words with Friends was part of what you're on about, like a video game. I suppose I was thinking of that in a different sort of category.
Yeah, well, if you look at it, you know, the range, you know, at one end, I guess we've got, you know, the Call of Duties and the Grand Theft Autos. You know, we've got games like FIFA in the middle where we're playing sports. And then certainly it moves to the other end where we're playing puzzle games, you know, games that we used to play, if you can remember back in the 70s and 80s, things like Frogger, but similar styles of game to that that people are comfortable with. And, you know, I guess my generation, it's the heritage, it's what they were weaned on. So certainly there's this huge array. There's a style of game for anybody who's playing. And there's lots of games that are being created with narratives that are talking around social issues. So the game itself is driving a message or a story, and having people have a much deeper look into issues, whether it's immigration or whether it's health or a whole number of different subjects, similar to what you would do with a movie or a documentary or a book.
So are people doing this in the evening instead of watching TV?
People on average are spending about an hour a day playing games, and they don't do it. They may do it instead of TV. They may do it as well as TV. Because what we're certainly seeing are people are using multiple screens, and particularly younger generation who quite happily can have the television going and a game going. You know, they're at the same time they're chatting to somebody and listening to music. So it's not unusual to have a number of pieces of medium going at the same time.
Right. Well, someone else has got my hour of gaming each day, that's for sure.
I'm sure they're happy to take that.
I haven't got into it personally yet, but I gather it's, as I say, it's taking off. But how far along do you think the journey of gaming where we are? I mean, how far can this business go?
I guess we can look at it a couple of ways. First is, I'm sure if you have flown recently or caught a tram or a train, you've seen a lot of mature men with a nose buried in an iPad or a phone playing a game. So that's the first step. The second step is saying, okay, here is a medium that people are really engaged with and a medium that can really engage with people because it uses sound, it uses movement, it uses a whole lot of different styles to immerse you in it. And then saying, how do we use that now in a whole wide range of ways? Can I use VR, so virtual reality, using the expertise of gamers to look through a property I want to buy in the next state? Can I use VR and experience what it's like to go to Disneyland or Vanuatu or Hawaii or Paris? So using the skills to really broaden the way people are engaging with games.
Right.
You know, if we look at, when I referred to as serious games, we're seeing police forces and fire services and other emergency departments training using virtual reality and augmented reality. They can be in a situation which is almost lifelike, but without threatening their life because they're using the skills of how a game developer would create that environment, which is, in effect, a live environment and can be manipulated to help them in that training.
You've done a study recently, I think, or a study has been done, Digital Australia 2018, of Australian households and individuals.
That's right.
What did that find?
The first thing that found is that there's 97% of households with children in Australia have a device that games are being played on. So we're pretty much at saturation point there. We know that 67% of all Australians have told us that they're gamers or that they are playing games of some sort. And I think we've already covered off that may be Words with Friends, it may be Call of Duty. We know that 77% of players are over 18. So the minority are kids, the majority are adults, which is really interesting. And the thing that excites us is 43% of players or people over 65 identified that they play video games.
Right. How much? 46% did you say?
43%.
43%. Well, that's that's high. But as you say, the thing's more or less at saturation.
Yeah, and look, people are playing for different reasons. I dare say, you know, and we know when we ask the questions that younger people are playing to pass time and have fun. Older people are saying, well, I want to keep my mind active. I want to engage and I want to connect. My grandkids are playing and I can actually play with them. I don't need to be sitting in the same house. I can be in one state and they can be in another, or one city and they're in another, and we can do something together. I might not pick the phone up every day and talk to my mum, but pretty much 8 times a day I engage with my mum with Words with Friends. We have a little game, I can put a comment on it while we're playing, and there's that engagement, that connection going the whole time.
So what are the problems with your industry that you're having to deal with, Ron?
The problems in which sort of sense?
Oh, well, I mean, based in the past, but there's a lot of violence and perhaps sexism in games. Is that still an issue?
Look, violence is always an issue, and our industry works very hard to ensure that we comply with the National Classification Scheme, because we think it's really important that parents, particularly in caregivers, understand the content of the material they're going to purchase or allow their kids to play. And we know that families with children in it find it incredibly important to have that information. As people get older, they find it less and less relevant and they'll make their own decisions. So certainly it's ensuring that parents understand, what does the system mean? You know, what does the classification system mean? Having them understand that the machine they buy, they can set it up so the kids can only play for a certain amount of time, certain times a day, and certain classifications. So they can control all that. So don't pull it out of the box, give it to your kids and tell them to set it up. We're saying you pull it out of the box, you set it up, and you drive that for your kids. So certainly that's always been an issue with us, to ensuring that if there's going to be violent games, and you know, when you have 77% of players over 18, there will be adult content. There will be that narrative that's not suitable for kids. We just need to ensure that adults and parents, caregivers, understand that that's in a game.
Well, it's been very interesting talking to you, Ron. Thanks very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I've been talking to Ron Curry, who's the CEO of the Interactive Gaming and Entertainment Association.